And turn to Matthew chapter 13. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time tonight. I just wanted to kind of give you an introduction to chapter 13. We've been going through these four Gospels, and we dealt with chapter 11, chapter 12. We just finished up in chapter number 12 on Sunday evening. And chapter 13, it gets interesting. And of course, it's all interesting. I don't mean that to downplay the Bible at all, but it's a little more interesting than what we've looked at before because some things are changing. In chapter 13, when we come to that, we find the mysteries of the kingdom, and we find some of the teachings here that Christ has and some of the parables that he begins to speak. And I'm not going tonight to deal with all the parables, but we're going to look at just a few things and try to highlight it just a little bit for you, kind of whet your appetite, I guess I should say, for Sunday morning. And so we'll start verse number 1, chapter 13. The Bible says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." I want to stop right there and back up, and I'm going to say this for the introduction part here. The great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. That whole multitude was there, and it was following Jesus, not because they loved him, but because of curiosity. They heard about this man named Jesus, and they was following. They was looking for him to do something spectacular. They was curious, what's he going to do next? So the Bible says, and he sat, there's a ship there, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake a parable, spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were torched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Watch this. Now, verse 10, the Bible says, And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you talking like this? Why are you speaking to these people in these parables? They was curious. Christ said, verse 11, He answered and said unto them, Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Well, why didn't they get it? They didn't get it, and to them it wasn't given because they were unbelievers. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because... Don't you like it when the Bible explains itself? Amen? Compare Scripture with Scripture. That's what we're taught to do. I speak parables unto them, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears and hear with their, see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desire to see those things which you see, have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Verse 18 goes into the parable of the sower. We're not going to go there. So in the introduction part of this, verse 1 through 17, let's pray right quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great privilege you've given us to be in your house tonight. I pray, Lord, you bless the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help me, Lord, as I try to expound on this introduction to this chapter. And I pray, Father, that you'd help us, Lord, to understand, open up the hearts and minds of understanding tonight. Thank you, Father, for our missionary that's with us and his family. I pray that you bless and be with him, be with the one homesick tonight, with the little one. I pray that you be with the wife there also, Father. And Father, may your will be accomplished, your will done in this service, Father. In Christ's loving name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, so I want you to look at this and at this parables that he's speaking here, and he's speaking to the multitude there. Christ has took the time and he sat down and he begins to speak to them, and he's speaking to them in parables. Now, Jesus came to present himself to Israel. We all understand that. We all know that. Amen. He came to the Jews. The Bible says he came into his own, but his own received him not. Amen. So we understand that. And it was prophesied that he would come. So we know that Jesus did come to establish the kingdom, but he didn't come to establish the kingdom. He came to die for sins. Amen? He came to die for the sins of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Amen? He came to save sinners. That was the goal, to come to save sinners. But he did present himself as the Messiah. Is everybody with me? He didn't come to set the kingdom up. That's not what he came for. He came to save sinners. All right, stay with me. I don't want to lose you. Knowing the entire time, because he's God who knows everything, he knowingly came to save sinners, but knowing that he would be rejected by many. All right? So his rejection was necessary for the fulfillment of prophecy. Isaiah 53, verse 3 says this: He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So to fulfill prophecy, it was necessary for the rejection when Jesus Christ comes on the scene. He was publicly rejected by Israel's leaders and the representatives. We just read through that in Matthew chapter 11, Matthew chapter number 12. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 12, verses 23 through 28, we expanded on that quite a bit on Sunday night. There, let me just jump over real quickly. It said that all the people were amazed at when he healed the one, and they said that he did this as, you know, in the power of the devil, whatever. Verse number 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself and is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan be cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, and how shall his kingdom stand? If I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils in the spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me." So, and all that, I'm not going to go back through all that again in chapter number 12, but he was speaking to the Jews, of the leaders and the representatives of Israel, because they were against him, and he called them out on it. But rejection was necessary, and we understand that. Christ then offered himself to anyone that would come. Amen? Came into his own received him not. We find that in Matthew chapter 11, chapter number 12. But it was not until Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, that the door was opened. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Jews and Gentiles. Is everybody with me? All right? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Christ made the offer. Having been rejected by Israel, Christ reveals the mystery period of the kingdom. The Old Testament prophets saw the first advent of Christ. They saw the coming of Christ, amen, the birth of Christ. They saw that, and they saw the second advent, Christ coming to set his kingdom up. They saw that. Everybody with me? It's prophesied all throughout Scripture. The Old Testament prophets, they preached that, they saw that, they foretold that, but what they did not foretell was the church age. It was a mystery. It's a mystery, all right? And so that mystery now, it's revealed. He reveals the mystery kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says, "He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And so this is a special group of parables that he gives here. Verse 53 of Matthew chapter 13. Let me jump over there and read verse 53 for you right quickly. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables," so it was a special group of parables, "he departed." All right? So he begins to expound and give these parables. And they reveal the mystery form of the kingdom that will be taken during the kingdom, the mystery form of that kingdom of God will take during the church age. They begin with the sowing of the seed and they end with judgment. The New Testament mystery is truth hidden in the Old Testament, and it's revealed in the New Testament. I hope that's not confusing you. It was hidden in the Old Testament. It's revealed in the New Testament. Amen? The church age. Here's what the book of Romans chapter 16 verse 25 says. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the command of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Amen? Old Testament, it was a mystery. New Testament's been revealed. What has been revealed is the church age, the gospel going forth, and souls being saved, Jews and Gentiles. Amen? Everybody okay? The term mysteries of the kingdom, we find that in verse 11, refers to the course of the church age. This age was not prophesied in the Old Testament. The church age is like a valley between the mountain peaks. You can see the mountain peaks, but most of the time you don't see the valley. So that's the church age. They saw the mountains, but they didn't see the valleys. Everybody with me? You understand that? Amen? So in the Old Testament, they didn't see the church. They saw the first coming and the second coming of Christ, the setting up of the kingdom. Amen? They saw that, but they didn't see the church age. So Old Testament prophecy foresaw the first and second comings of Christ. They didn't see the church age in between those two great events. The Old Testament prophecies of the kingdom revealed that Christ would suffer. We saw that, Isaiah chapter 53. And that Christ would reign, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. Nothing is mentioned, though, about the period of time between the two great events, the first and second coming of Christ. There's nothing mentioned in the Old Testament which God would temporarily set aside a nation, Israel, amen, temporarily set that nation aside and build a church composed of Jews and Gentiles brought together in the same body. That's a mystery, amen? But that mystery has been revealed, and we see that here. This starts to unfold for us here in Matthew chapter 13. Now, Jesus taught these parables to reveal truth of a church age to the believers and to hide it from unbelievers. That's what he said, amen? Verse 10, disciples came and asked him, "Why speaketh thou these parables to them in parables?" And he answered and said, "Because it's given unto you, the disciples, the believers, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." And then it gives reason there all the way down through verse 17, because they have ears, they won't hear, they have eyes, they won't see. And so they were not allowed to have the unbelievers. It wasn't given to the unbelievers, it was only given to the believers. Jesus didn't teach in parables to make the truth simple. Many have claimed that the reason why Jesus spoke in parables was to make it simple to understand. No, that's not correct. Not in this situation. In this parable, Jesus is speaking in parables because it's only for those that believe, not for the unbeliever. All right? He taught these parables to hide the truth from willful unbelievers. And I'm telling you, in those days they had willful unbelievers, and we still have those in our day. Amen? They are willful unbelievers. My oldest daughter texted me the other day, and she said, "Daddy," she said, "I'm trying my best to talk to this friend of hers," and she said that she don't understand once saved, always saved. She said there was a statement on Facebook, on social media somewhere, that said once saved, always saved. And said she's fussing at me about that and said that's not so. We shouldn't believe that. She said, "I need chapter and verse." I said, "Well, give her Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not by works, it's by faith." And so she gave her that verse of scripture, and she takes it back, a whole big old list of stuff that this girl said. And I mean, she was just rattling on a bunch of garbage. And I told her, I said, "Look, the best thing you can do with that," I said, "she's an unbeliever, she's not willing to hear." I said, "So the best thing you can do is just tell her she needs to pray about that and read her Bible and move on." Amen? There's a bunch of unbelievers out there. They don't want to hear truth. They don't want to know truth. And her argument, she kept coming back and saying, "Well, if somebody committed murder, how can they go to heaven?" I said, "Well, if somebody's truly born again, they won't want to commit murder." Amen? If they're truly born again, they won't want to go against the Word of God or the will of God. They'll care for that lost soul. They'll be concerned about them going to hell and not want to take their life. Anyway, I don't have time to preach all that either. But I want you to understand, in our day, just as it was in Jesus' day, there was a group of unbelievers. They were willful unbelievers. And the Bible has warned us not to cast our pearl before swine. Amen? Because they've trodden underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. That's that willful unbelievers. They want to argue all the time, but they do not want to hear what you got to say. Dust your feet off, move on. Amen? Don't waste your time on that. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Just find that one that wants to hear. Amen? And let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen? Let on him if he wants to hear it. Amen. All right. So that's what Jesus was dealing with here, is those unbelievers that didn't want to hear. It is important to note, I got to hurry. It's important to note, amen, that God does not sovereignly blind some while opening the eyes of others. That's another bunch of heresy, that some are blinded and others have their eyes open. That's not God. God doesn't do that. Amen. It is those who do not receive the truth who are blinded. They haven't received the truth, therefore they are blinded to truth because they have not received the truth. The Scripture tells us we are to receive the Word. Amen? Matter of fact, we're even instructed in the Scripture to eat the Word. Amen? To take it in, to receive it. All right? So those that don't receive the truth, those are the ones that are blinded. We talked about devil possession the other night. And those that say that they're possessed by a devil, you find no place in the New Testament, we mentioned this on Sunday night, there's no place in the New Testament that gives instruction how to cast out devils. Because it's a mind thing, amen? They allow themselves to reject God and to believe the wickedness of the world and allow themselves to get themselves in that state, amen? Where their mind is so corrupt and they present themselves as possessed by a devil. But if they were just here, the gospel has the power, amen? It's the power of the gospel. I'm about ready to preach. It's the power of the gospel, amen, to save them which believe, amen? And God has the power in the gospel to help them to hear and to believe, amen, if they would just put forth the effort, amen? It's the power of the gospel. It's not in man, amen? It's not in man. In salvation, it is not in man. Man cannot save himself as much as he tries, as much as he wants to be saved. He cannot save himself, amen? It's the power of the gospel. It's the work of God. It is a miracle of the new birth, amen? When that miracle takes place, there's a change on the inside, amen? Y'all would have shouted the roof off right there, amen? There's a change on the inside. Amen. That's the miracle there. So those that don't receive the truth, those are the ones who are blinded. Jesus said that Israel, in chapter 13, verse 15, he said of Israel, he said, they closed their own eyes. In other words, Jesus Christ was walking on the very streets and they refused to accept him. They closed their own eyes. We live in America, and many folks in America, not count the rest of the world, have chosen to close their eyes. They don't want God. They don't have nothing to do with God. But I'm telling you, Jesus has commissioned us to continue to carry forth the gospel, amen, to make it available to let anyone that will hear, let him hear it. Because he's not willing that any should perish, and if they will listen, he wants them to hear it. And he's commissioned us to go tell it. Amen. To be there, to be the ones that tell it. Israel now had closed their very own eyes. Man is responsible to hear and to understand God's word. It's man's responsibility. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Wait a minute, who did that? The God of this world. Not the God of heaven, but the God of this world, which is Satan. Amen. Amen. The devil has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's man's responsibility to hear, and it's our responsibility to deliver the message so they can hear. Amen. God has commanded that the light, that's us, amen, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. He has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Amen. That's the believer. We're to shine in a dark world and not to blend in and let a light go out. Amen. Not to be dull and not to be dim, but be shining bright, because our light is to shine in darkness so we can give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Telling you, we've got so many people cowering down and running with the world. It's a shame, amen. Now, ain't no wonder why the Bible says, when Jesus comes, will he find faith when he comes? Amen. They don't even believe the word of God anymore. They've changed it so many times, they don't know what book to read. That's the work of the devil, amen. That's not of God. God never intended for that. The divine preserved word of God we have in the King James Bible. Amen. Not all these other modern versions. They don't teach faith. They don't teach convictions. They don't teach anything like the word of God does that we have. Amen. It's the pure, unadulterated, inerrant word of God. Amen. Amen. That's what we're to preach. And man is responsible to hear that. Man's responsible to understand that. Hallelujah. Amen. I got to hurry. I can't wait till Sunday. Man. Invite somebody to come with you. I'm going to pack a lunch. Y'all better do the same. The general message now, what I just gave you was the purposes of the parables. The purpose was for somebody to hear it and believe it. Amen. To hear it to the believer, hear the word of God and believe the word of God and to receive it. All right, that was the purpose of the parables. So the general message of the parables is this. They describe the course of the church age as that of increasing apostasy and error until Matthew chapter 13, verse 33 says that the whole is leavened. The whole lump is leavened. So the general message is to describe the course of the church age as increasing in apostasy. We're seeing that. Amen. On every hand, we're seeing that. COVID really shined the light on apostasy. All those that turned from the church, left the church, and the majority didn't come back. Amen. Then they start following the lie. Some of them don't follow anything. Some of them just follow the devil. But they're following error, and the scripture teaches us in the church age, there's going to be the whole is going to be leavened. The whole will be leavened when the saints, and it's not going to happen now, as far as the whole, until the saints are out of here. Amen. When we're out of here, then it's all it's on then. Amen. And the saints are raptured out, and the great whore of Revelation chapter 17 will rule with the Antichrist. I'm glad, thank God, I ain't going to be here. Amen. And I don't want anybody else to be here. I want them to know about Jesus Christ so they can go in the church, with the church age. Because one of these days, that door to the church is going to close. Amen? And this movie that they have out, the Second Chance and all that bunch of hogwash, listen, there's no second chance. I don't believe in second chances. Amen? If you've rejected God, if you've not heard his word in the church age, if you've not received his word, you've heard it and you've rejected his word, you will not have, nobody will have a second chance. Amen? You rejected, so you suffer the consequences. And the consequences of that rejection and turning away from the word of God and neglecting to hear the word of God, the consequences is a place called hell. You know what the Bible says about that place? Many there be that go in thereat. Many. So the parable is given, and Christ has given several parables there, and he deals with the seeds, and we'll talk about some of those. Maybe we'll get to that on Sunday. But I hope this is a good introduction to help you, maybe excite you a little bit about Matthew chapter 12, and excite you as far as getting that gospel message out, let your light so shine. I'm telling you, it was prophesied that Jesus would come, and Jesus came. Amen? It's prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. That took place. It was prophesied he'd die on the cross. He died on the cross. It's prophesied he'd rise from the grave. He rose from the grave. We're fixing to celebrate the resurrection. All those things took place. All those things happened. And it's prophesied that he's coming again in the air. Amen. To receive us that believe in the air. Those that are alive and remain, the dead shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall meet the Lord in the air. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That day's coming, and it's coming soon, sooner than we think. Amen. Just any day now, the songwriter sung. Just any day now. I'm afraid we're letting this light of the glorious gospel is growing dimmer and dimmer, and we're losing sight. Amen. We're losing sight. We've losing our focus on what the big picture is. The big picture is the church age that we're in. That's our opportunity. That's our time to shine. Amen. Let it shine. Let it shine. The kids sing that little song. Let it shine. Let it shine. I'm preaching tonight. Let it shine. Amen. Let it shine. Let your light shine. Somebody needs to hear the word. Amen. I was walking through the grocery store, or the DG, the Dollar General, on the way to church. And I was thinking about that lady behind the register. I was thinking about that gentleman that walked out the door. I wonder if they're saved. You know, a lot of people tell you they're saved, but they don't know if they're saved or not. Well, we got a lot to do. I appreciate Brother Caleb and his family being with us tonight. Do pray for them. Get a card and let them know that you're going to be praying for them. They got a board set up back there to tell a little bit about their work and their ministry. And I do pray for them and pray for the service on Sunday. Pray one for another. Amen. And pray for the lost. Amen. We can reach the lost here at Midway Baptist Church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.